Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Thursday. We have a lot of hope everyone's having a good Thursday. So we'll be talking that NBA playoffs. Throwing a little Major League Baseball as well. We're going to be joined in a little bit by my main man, Tony Capobianco, better known as the Cuban Cowboy. Hopefully, like I said, everyone's having a good Thursday. And we are brought to you, as usual, by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco out of Chandler, Arizona, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. In Chandler, make sure you get on down there and let them know the PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off any cigar purchase you have. The best part about that is you do not have to take your cigars and leave. You can sit there and smoke, enjoy yourself. Not only do they have one of the best customer areas, but they have a customer lounge as well, each filled with at least 5 flat screen TVs for you to enjoy. Usually sports is what's on. Sit back and kick it and relax, or you can become a member, get your own locker backed up to a humidor, and that way you can buy your stuff, leave it there, and smoke in the comfort of Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. So, everyone, let's get this thing going today. So, how is everyone? Like I said, hope everyone is good. We're going to jump right into the NBA. And listen, guys, I've been saying this over and over again. I'm going to continue to say this over and over again until I'm blue in the face. I am predicting 3-game sweeps. I did it in terms of for the Warriors. I'm doing it again for the Cavaliers. Anybody in this game that knows me knows I've been saying this. I've been tweeting it. I've been out there. These are 3-game sweeps. They're going to beat. Cleveland is going to be Boston so bad in 3 games, it's going to feel like 4. That will be over. Golden State, I look, San Antonio had one shot. It was the first game. They blew that shot. They completely crapped the bed on it. They will not win a game. Listen, these two teams are on a collision course. Now, some of the things I want to talk about when it comes to that is I'm hearing people say how boring the playoffs are, even though we just had a 7-game series against Washington. How uninteresting it is, and everything that you could possibly think of. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. These playoffs are designed for the 2 best teams to meet. I'm sorry if the lower teams and the lower rounds aren't interesting for you, but that is not a possibility whatsoever. The 2 best teams are playing or will play. It is not anyone's fault. It is not their fault that no one is beating them or giving them a serious challenge. It's just not. It's not anyone's fault. This is just and the Lakers made the playoffs 9 times between 1979-80 season all the way up to 1990. No one complains about all. Tell me another series in those 9 years that the Lakers were in a lower series or that any other team was in a lower series that you remember being a very good series to watch. You can't because nobody cares about what happens in the series leading up to the finals. Everyone cares about the finals. So you can sit here and talk revisionist history all you want. We just remember the Lakers getting there 9 times. We remember Boston getting there 5 times. These are the things that we remember. We even remember Philadelphia getting there 1 or 2 times, winning 1 time for sure with Moses Malone. Nobody gives a crap about the lower rounds, and if they're interesting enough for everyone else, we remember the finals in the long run, and 15 years from now, we'll be talking about the time, the only time in the NBA that 2 teams have met in 3 consecutive finals, and this is the rubber match. Joining us now online on the Kerry Lightning Law Line,
one and only Tony Capuano, Cuban Cowboy. Tony, what's going on?
Chili dust around. No gonna ever bring you down. Remember I said like two weeks ago? I said this is like that Karate Kid montage. We're just looking at like both sides of it with Cleveland and Golden State.
You weren't singing over
right. I made sure I got the song right. I thought it was like a different 80s type song.
You did get the song right. But, Tony, a lot of folks are saying how this is a boring playoffs. There's nothing in the lower rounds. Dude, who gives a crap? I mean, if we want to get technical, we were impressed by Milwaukee for a little bit because they're young and they're up and coming. But no one really gives a crap. Are you going to remember down the line in 20 years or 15 years that Utah played a good series against the Clippers? Who's going to remember that? Who's going to care?
Well, at the very least, you won, like, some resemblance of a competitive series, at least the favorite team being challenged. I do remember, like, a few years ago, Boston having a chance of beating the Heat back in, like, before LeBron got his first – the year he got LeBron got his first championship, but having to be put on that brink and then – having a same performance to save the season, eventually win. We know what's going to happen down the line. That's not the surprise. The surprise is how we get to that position. And right now, it's just the two top teams, one punch and one kicking their opponent to death. They're like one hit. I haven't paid a single attention to the entire playoffs. I've watched more overtime playoff games than I've had NBA games so far.
So you remember one series from 2013.
No, I just pointed that one out. I also remember the Indiana series against the Heat. I remember most of the Thunder series is what I covered. One of my favorite games in the playoffs in attendance was Clippers and Spurs Game 7. Like, you want, like, some resemblance of competition and, like, some like, drama in it. And I'm not even counting Boston and Washington because it was clear that the home team was going to win every game. Like, you just want some sort of unpredictability within the margins.
And you know what? And that's fair. But I'm not going to just write this playoffs off and say, well, I'm just not going to watch anything. And obviously,
well,
I
don't care about these two rounds. But I will watch the finals.
And you know what? Maybe I'm just a basketball junkie, but I watched every single round all the way through, and I think we've seen everything has been predictable. And to say that you have to have all these superstars to win, I agree with that to a point. I really, truly do. The league hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed in the league is that the players can control their destiny more than what owners can always control, and the GM.
I think the difference is really the gap has widened just a little bit more now, where, like, number one and number two are so different, especially in the East.
Sorry for that. Seems like we had some technical issues, but we are back. Hopefully we left off with us saying the draft picks and the orders that they are. Boston ended up with number one, Lakers number two, Philadelphia number three, and, of course, the Phoenix Suns number four. I don't understand how we're still trusting the process. Yes, they've got good players. No, they, I don't know. Philadelphia. But let's talk about this conference and the conference finals right now. We'll start with the West, and the Spurs had their shot, guys. The Spurs had their shot to steal a game. Maybe that would have got two games for them because they could have won one at home. Now this series is over. The rust is off. Golden State is flying on all cylinders. They Durant was required, but then you had Draymond hitting threes early. You had Steph. You had Livingston posting up. There's no Kawhi for San Antonio. It looks like the Warriors are hurt. Guys, I'm sorry. The Spurs weren't going to win this series anyway. I do want to talk about Pop very quickly. I'll talk about this tomorrow. But don't scrap too much about Zha being dirty. We know Zha does a lot of questionable stuff. LaMarcus Aldridge slid under Kevin Durant. Same with Pop, didn't say a word. He's going to treat that as a one-off, awkward, so whatever. Again, this is the team that had Bruce Bowen. This is the man who flew and kicked someone dead in their face. I do not want to hear it. Do not. In the East, guys, let's just be real. Let's just really be real. Boston has no shot. Washington had a better shot. Not saying they were going to beat them, but maybe they could have stole a game from them just because of the point guard play of John Wall, just because of Bradley Beal in the backcourt, just because maybe Markieff could have made LeBron work just a little bit. The only way you're going to have a shot to beat Cleveland, or the only way you're going to beat Cleveland, is if you have someone who makes them work just a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. No one has. Paul George played like he was in awe, like he was already 1 foot in L.A., 1 foot in Indiana. Then you go to Toronto, nobody made him work. Now you got Boston, nobody's going to make him work defensively. Listen, LeBron James is rested and ready to play. If you do not make him work on the defensive side just a little bit, he has all that energy for the offensive side of the ball, and he will absolutely kill you, stick the dagger through your heart, period. That's it. And that is exactly what he's doing. They'll switch him on to Isaiah Thomas from time to time. Isaiah Thomas, as good as he is, as great as he is, as amazing of season 5'9", that is going to challenge LeBron James. Period. End of story. I think we got Tony back with all these technicalities that we're having. Tony, are you back with us? I think you're like in my line.
Normally, it takes me talking about my favorite college team for me to be taken off, but.
I think we're losing him again. I can't.
Oh, no. I'm back. I heard the British lady. I'm good to go.
Alrighty, good. Hey, Tony, real quick, because we're going to jump into baseball in a second. What I was saying was there's no way a 5'9" guy with no help on the wings can do anything against LeBron James. The problem is no one has challenged him and made him work on the defensive side. Paul George, 1 foot in L.A., 1 foot in Indiana. We know that there's no three in Toronto at all. And please don't tell me Amari Carroll, and please don't tell me Jay Crowder or any of the other stiffs Boston rolls out there at the three. If you don't make him use some energy on defense, you're dead. You're toast. There's nothing you can do.
Now, what do I say after that?
Exactly.
The best thing the Celtics have is a guy who looks like a mascot.
Yeah, like I said, he plays with heart. He does so much. But a 5'9" guy as the best player on your team is not beating LeBron.
You know what I found interesting, though, with the Celtics? The conference with both Isaiah Thomas and Shea Carter together, with the way the offseason might go, would it be surprised if both those guys were no longer there?
That time, I think we lost Tony a full sentence. But making him work, listen, guys, Kevin Durant will make him work on defense. And he will not have the time to switch over to Steph Curry this year. Unlike last year when Harrison Barnes shot 2 for 78. This next segment is brought to you by Tzatziki's Pita Grill, located in Tempe on East and Elliott. Let them know that PLR sent you. Get 10% off your meal. Again, located on Priest and Elliott, next door to the Global Center. Guys, they have the best food, eat Mediterranean food in the valley. Anything you do not get yesterday's stuff chopped up into something else for today. Everything is fresh down there. Let them know that they'll send you from Greece, and they will take care of you. Put you over the baseball. I know Tony, before he gets this, if he gets this, I hope he does. He has a table to make, and I'm going to go ahead and turn that over to you right now.
By the way, I
got to
watch what I say about the Boston Celtics, because I legitimately got booted off again by the Blog Talk Radio lady. I suggest that Isaiah Thomas might not come back, and the next thing I heard was, thank you for Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Hey, buddy, you had an announcement to make. Tony, are you with us? I know Tony had an announcement about a podcast that he's adding to the channel. We'll get that definitely tweeted out and make a big announcement about that as well. But I did just want to get into a little bit of baseball before we close out today. And a couple of other quick announcements I know I wanted to get to as well. As I'm looking at these standings, it's funny how teams are starting to separate themselves. And I know it's early. No one has won a division yet. You can't lose a division in a month of May. I mean, you can't win a division in May, but you definitely can lose a division in May. We're starting to see some of the separation that's going on in baseball. And you start to think now who's going to be buyers and sellers as the trade deadline approaches, which is a little bit off, but you can tell who's going to be winners or buyers and sellers. And there's some divisions where they're too close to call right now. I know the Central, the American League, everyone is kind of put together. Anyway, but when you start getting to like the West, you start looking at the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners, with the start that the Houston Astros have gotten off to, you just start thinking that those teams at the bottom will definitely be sellers. I know there's a wild card, but even with their record, it makes you start to think, will these teams be the sellers? And now's the time to start looking at some of the talent. Looks like, do you you have an announcement? Do you not, sir?
Yeah, I have a new podcast called the Cuban Cowboy Podcast. I'm planning to do it every week. I don't know exactly what day, but my first one just came out today on thesportscave.com. And I have a little rant. Well, not really rant, but like something I talk about. Then I have like an interview. So because I cover right now, I usually cover MLB prospects in the minor league, especially in New England. Those are usually the guys I have often. But they're fun, light fun, kind of like my personality. I like it to be a joy for people to watch something that's outside of the meat and potatoes that you can get from any other sports show.
There you go. As we continue to grow. Tony, like I was saying before, and that's great stuff with that podcast. So people, make sure you are checking that out. It is posted on thesportscave.com, like Tony said. Tony, with like I said, you can't win a baseball division in May, but you can definitely lose a division in May. And when I'm looking at some of these teams, let's be real. The Miami Marlins, Philly, and the New York Mets, that's really just about it. Except the Mets are in a 7-game tailspin. The starting pitchers are dropping like 5. Matt Harvey can't pitch anymore. Lindegaard is out. Philly is out. You start to say, wow, the season is started. Washington, no one else in the division is even over 500. So those are the teams, if I'm not mistaken, that you start looking at, that bottom four, thinking, hey, as we get closer to this trade deadline, these are going to be my sellers.
It kind of, as far as like the Marlins go, it kind of feels like what the Diamondbacks felt this time last year. Now, where they just felt like everything that's supposed to go right went wrong, and there's like no light at the end. As far as the Marlins go, it's a lot worse than just the season feeling like it's over. I noticed this. This is probably something that's crazy. Not just the Marlins, but their AAA team, their AA team, and their Single A team are all in last place in their division. If they can't even get reinforcements from the minor leagues to help them. And the only guys that they can sell to get prospects for their pitching staff, if they desperately need, those are the guys they need to keep if they want to have a better future. So that's a team, that's a franchise that I've noticed is in like a bit of a rut where they can't fill themselves up from within. And the guys that they have with value, they can't trade unless they want to like really fool with the guys.
Yeah, man, I hear you. I don't know how much you've been keeping in touch with what's up with the Diamondbacks, but did you expect them to still be this good? You know, over 40 games into the season.
I always felt perplexed about the Diamondbacks because last year they looked like they had a team with potential. And then they lost A.J. Pollock. I think I mentioned this a couple of years ago. They had the best hitting team in the National League, and they were supposed to get better through their pitching. And they did the same thing where they just take their first pick and they send it to some guy, and that guy does nothing. But this Zach Greinke in his second season is looking like the ace that they spend the money for. I know they're still hitting pretty well. I know their bullpen looks pretty good with Fernando Rodney as a closer. That guy is in his 40s. I don't know how he does it. He's in his 40s, and he looks like he's in his 30s at the very least. It's crazy. But that team, if they look like the 07. They have a little bit of the 07 in them, where like they're built with young players, a couple veterans here and there, and they look like they could make a run. I hope they're not one of the teams that are starting pretty well now, so only to fall off later on.
I hear you. Well, I have to tell you what, I am a fan of Jake Lamb and what he's doing this year. So, big, big, big time.
That guy does. I saw him over in Miami a year ago. That guy, I think he had like, what, over 30 home runs last year?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good guy to pair up with Goldsmith.
You know, when you have two offensive studs on the corners for you, first base and third base, it is a whole lot easier to build your offense around that. And then everything else, you gravy. Because right now, not getting a lot out of Nick Ahmed offensively, but Chris Owings, who they have playing the outfield right now, is doing incredibly well offensively. So they're putting it together slowly. And I see teams like that, like the Diamondbacks, that make me wonder, because how much selling and buying, if this keeps up, do they do over, you know, as we get closer to the playoffs and trade deadline? You know, Fernando Rodney has been good. He has been great. He's saved more than he's blown. But do they go and get bullpen help? Do they go get another established starter? Do they look for someone else in the infield, you know, at shortstop? Do they look for another outfielder with the big bat? A guy that I think is going to come available. I don't think he's going to go to the National League. But don't be surprised, I think, if Jose Bautista becomes available, because he's doing nothing this year. And Toronto, they re-signed him, he re-upped. Toronto absolutely sucks. So maybe that's a guy that can help out
markets for these teams that are going to be looking to buy. Again, I doubt if he moves to the National League, but it wouldn't surprise me that nowadays.
Those are hard contracts to just move in the middle of the summer.
So,
we got to have. By the way,
we
another thing
see.
I noticed, Diamondbacks, how many starting pitchers have you seen make an improvement compared to last year?
Well, pretty much everyone on that team has done a lot better.
I covered Jeff Mathis back in Miami. He can't hit a lick, but that guy is a really good catcher that comes to manage pitchers. Like, he's one of those, like, he looks like a perpetual hole in the lineup at catcher, but he really does help make pitchers better.
And sometimes that's what you need. Sometimes that's just what you
need. As far as another bat, you can always make another run at Ryan Braun because that's the guy who's probably going to be more available. And then guys who have like 1 year contracts or like who are about to be free agents pretty soon, the Mets might be a team that might be worth poaching at because while they did sign up long term with Cespedes, and I don't know if the same situation happened with Jay Bruce. But some of the guys in the middle infield, like Todd Walker Neil Walker at second, and Abdullah Cabrera at short, those are guys that maybe could help with the feedback for the trade.
Well, we shall definitely see, because like I said, if the D-backs can hold tight, they definitely will be a buyer if that's the direction they want to go. As long as they don't overdo it, we don't want them to sell off too much to think this year might be the year, because that's where a lot of teams make mistakes and then they set themselves back. So we shall see what's going on. Tony, what's going on with you? We're getting close to the end here.
Well, I've been covering the Eastern League, Double A in New England for a little bit, and I talked to a scout, the White Sox, and they made some noise in the offseason when they made a couple trades for pitchers like Lucas Giolito and Michael Kopech in the sales trade. Kopech is legit. He looks better. Physically looks better than Bryce Harper, the guy throws 100 miles an hour on command. That's the guy to watch out for when he goes to make major fight stuff. Another pitcher prospect was good. Connor Green, who's game. They got him in high school at like 165, 63. He's now 200 pounds, and he just locked into 103. Those guys have got to forward the future.
Well, that sounds good, especially if it's the White Sox. They'll be here next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Definitely catch me at the ballpark.
And catch the Cuban Cowboy podcast. Just one today, right now.
We will go ahead and make sure that's tweeted out and on every social medium going on. Tony, what's your Twitter?
Tony Capobianco and Tony_Capobianco on Instagram.
Alrighty, my man. Sorry for all the technical difficulties, but we will catch up next week for sure.
Go Sun Devils, go Celtics. Please be more nice to me, Blog Talk Lady.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
I am a marching band. Alrighty, that was Tony Capobianco. Well, folks, that'll wrap up the show today. Appreciate it. We'll be back on Tuesday. Sports Cave Network. And on Monday, Ryan Northam, that is you. Later on tonight, so be sure you join. Make sure you follow us as well on our social Facebook fan page. And of course, there's Tony. SportsCave.com. For the technical difference, we fought right through it. Yeah. This is PLR.
My back against the wall, I can feel the world's rain.